Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Feo on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Hello, I'm Stuart Alexander, and once again, I would like to welcome our listeners to The Socialist Insight. And today we have Alan Mackey. He comes on the program every other week, and he discusses some very interesting topics. And this week we'll be discussing why Americans and why working people should be fed up. And Alan, thanks again for joining the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Stuart.
Now, Alan, I just saw just recently you have put something on the internet on Facebook and sparked my interest for the subject today, that you said that you were fed up. What was that you had brought up at that time that you had mentioned that you were fed up?
Well, like most Americans, I'm fed up with these dirty wars and militarism. Right now, our tax dollars are going to pay Israel to bomb Syria. And they don't even want to come forward with the truth about what they're doing there. You know, I'm fed up with unemployment and poverty wages, like most people. I'm fed up with underfunded and faltering public schools. I'm fed up with the miserable situation we have with health care in this country. Many people can't
Alan,
afford
it seemed
this.
Like you read most of my notes.
Yeah, well, I think this shows that people are really fed up, and we all have very similar problems that we're encountering and facing. I go and speak to groups all over the place and meet with people, and I've accumulated literally a number of notebooks full of things where people bring forward problems that they're just literally fed up with. And, you know, I've got a list of over 300 problems that people are fed up with. And I think that the point is, I think that people have to come together around some of the basic common problems. And from there, if we can come together around five or six things, we can solve all of our problems in a progressive way if we, you know, elect a real democratic government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
And you know, part of what I see today, Alan, is myself, I believe that I should be able to enjoy my freedoms that I should have under the Bill of Rights, and I see my freedoms are being eroded under this present government and also under this president. And that really makes me fed up. I feel that everything that I feel that I am entitled to as a free person, as a human being, and as a citizen of this country, but more so as a citizen of the world, I feel that I'm losing that. And I am fed up. But, Alan, what we're going to do is we're going to get into this, as I mentioned, 25 reasons why working people, why students, why seniors, why parents, why people in the households of this nation, why they should be fed up. But let's begin with the obvious. People have been screaming for more than four decades, ever since the 70s, about the high cost of gasoline. Right now here in California, it's still close to $4 a gallon. We have seen, it's basically been extortion. It's been where we have been ripped off by the big oil industries. But, Alan, that's going to be the first one. Why should working people be fed up with the high cost of energy, petroleum here in this country?
It's just not a matter of why people should be fed up, I think. You know, if you talk to people that are pumping gas into their cars, they just literally are fed up. And they got every right to be, because these oil companies are just ripping us off left and right. And one of the main reasons for the increase in oil prices is because this military-industrial complex requires so much energy, including oil especially,
right,
to keep it going. And that's forcing oil prices up, because the government doesn't care what it pays to these oil companies to keep these planes in the air, to keep boats in every ocean, you know, ships in every ocean. They just don't care what they're paying for this energy, and this is forcing oil prices up. Even our electric bills are going up because of this. And, you know, people should be fed up, and they are fed up, and, you know, we should be looking for real solutions like nationalizing under public ownership this whole energy complex.
Right.
And this is the solution to the problem.
And where you're at, it's a lot of people have to depend on oil just for heating their homes, correct?
Oh, for sure. My neighbors are still paying from 2 and 3 years ago. They've had to pay for their heating on credit because the government has cut back on heating assistance, and people have had to put their fuel oil and their propane on credit cards. And, you know, on top of having to pay for, you know, the past 2 or 3 years before they haven't even paid for this last past winter's heating bills, you know, they're paying interest on top of that to the banks, 18% to 20% interest, to 26% interest on credit cards on this fuel. You know, we're just finding ourselves digging further and further into a hole by going along with what's being shoved down our throats with this entire system. It's a ripoff.
Now, I can see that people are, I can remember back in the 70s when we talk about fuel, that's when we can visually see how people are fed up, because I, in Los Angeles, when I was living in Los Angeles at Los Angeles County, you would see people at the pumps, they'd be fighting each other. That's how, I mean, it was obvious that people are fed up. A lot of that pent-up frustration, we now just keep it to ourselves, but people are fed up about so many, many things. When you see them going into the grocery store, the high cost, but we have seen the price of the food prices and the cost of goods and other services just going through the roof. Alan,
well,
again.
People can't hardly afford to eat anymore. You go to a meat counter and you see, you know, hamburger, $4.55 a pound. Just a cheap steak is $9.50, $10 a pound. You know, people literally, they won't be able to afford to feed their families anymore.
I mean, I was just in the store just a few days ago with my wife, and I was looking at the person that was in front of me at the check stand, and when they finished ringing up the bill, it was right at $200. Hopefully, that was for 2 weeks, but I mean, that's a fortune to be paying, and we can see that so much of this has just been just unrestrained in this capitalist economy. Also, when we look at the cost, Alan, of housing, I mean, it's still on the increase. Housing is extremely unaffordable. And everyone I can that is listening to this program today, they are confronted with these same things. They are confronted with the high cost of gasoline and fuel prices. They're confronted with food. They're confronted with the cost of unaffordable housing. These are things that people are fed up with. But why is it that the cost of housing, we don't have more affordable housing in our inner cities? And it should be available, like Section 8 housing. But right now we can see that it's not available to millions of Americans that are in need of this.
No, we've got perfectly good homes sitting idle and vacant because the bankers have foreclosed and evicted people that couldn't afford the mortgages. And you've got people living under bridges. It makes no sense at all. In this country today, you know, I heard one of these congressmen that supports Obama saying that, well, we don't have as many foreclosures today as there were 3 or 4 years ago. But we still got millions of people every year being foreclosed on. You know,
millions.
We got millions of people being evicted from their homes. These people in Congress, I don't know, you know, it's like they have no connection with reality. They don't realize that there's a crisis of everyday living for working people in this country.
And why is it that we're not hearing about this? Because if we go back to 2008 and 2009, we were just hearing about the foreclosure problem. It was daily in front of us in the newsprint, on the internet, on television. Why isn't it being talked about today?
Well, they're afraid to talk about it because they know that so many people are fed up over these problems, and they know that the anger is rising in this country, and any time they give any coverage to these issues, that anger rises even more because you know, people started to look at the, when people started losing their homes, they looked at it as an individual problem. They thought that they had done something wrong and it was their problem alone. When it starts being shown in the media and stuff that, you know, this is happening to millions of people, people no longer feel alone, and then they start to look towards each other to find solutions to their problems. And they begin to look and see the priorities of this country that are, you know, just so messed up that it's almost unbelievable. If somebody were to write a book about this and I wasn't living here in this country, it would be hard to believe the problems that exist in this country today. The wealthiest country in the world. You know, we've got a problem with people can't afford to eat. They can't afford college tuitions anymore. They can't afford to, a home to live in. You know, what kind of country is this?
And I think one of the reasons why they don't talk about it is that old adage of just sweeping it under the carpet. In other words, let's sweep it under the carpet so we won't see, we won't hear it, we won't talk about it. But those problems are still there with us every day. And, Alan, another thing, when we look at every administration that, you know, within the last 3-4 decades, every administration has been talking about developing clean energy resources for the nation, yet we still see ourselves polluting our environment for profit. Why should we as a nation, as working people, why should we be fed up? And we see this thing with the Keystone XL project, where they're trying to bring this dirty oil over many of the rich resources of this nation just for profit, where it be shipped all the way down to Texas and toward the Gulf. And it is jeopardizing much of the heartland of this country. Why should working people be fed up?
Well, we should be.
And this
fed
is
up.
In your part of the Keystone XL is real close to your part of the country. Is that correct, Alan?
Yeah, that pipeline came down. The Enbridge pipeline came down through Minnesota and into Wisconsin and other parts of Minnesota and down to Illinois, where it's being processed. And I'm in Michigan right now, just about 50 miles north of Kalamazoo, Michigan, where one of Enbridge's pipelines busted and went to the Kalamazoo River. You know, and they don't know what the heck they're going to do to clean up that mess up. So,
how much area did it cover?
I forget the exact area. I haven't really paid that much attention, but I know that it's they're talking, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for the cleanup.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. Were people out in the street screaming about this?
Well, people have been complaining quite a bit. I don't know what's going on with it now. But I think that there will be a lot of people, you know, when they begin to understand that the river has been polluted for many, many years to come, and they won't be able to eat fish out of it. You know, they won't be able to go swimming in the river. And it's going to have a big impact. And the thing is, in the state of Minnesota, where I live, every single stream, river, and lake is so polluted that they put up warnings not to, that pregnant women and nursing mothers shouldn't eat more than a certain amount of fish anymore.
Wow.
You know? So, and this is the land of 10,000 lakes. Every single one of those lakes is polluted. Even the
every
ditches
one
are
of them.
Polluted.
What was that again?
Even the ditches where the rainwater.
Even the
Yeah.
Wow.
They've got warnings up in ditches saying that the
oh,
water
they have warning
is polluted.
Signs for the ditches. Oh, wow. I mean, it's really a disaster. And one of the things I see, Alan, is when we see these criminal acts by corporations, like what happened in the Gulf with the BP, and also what we just witnessed, what happened in right there in Texas, where a whole community was just completely wiped out. But
right.
we see that it is so reckless and blatant, and then we have a system, our government just try to sidestep it because these are corporations. If these were criminal acts by individuals, they would be ready to execute someone. Whereas these corporations, they are doing things to damage our environment, causing pollution, and it's being done every day. We should be fed up with this.
Yeah, we should. and it's going to get a lot worse. We don't even know the extent to that this pollution and contamination of our water and air and the land where we grow our food is. We don't even know the full extent yet, and we probably won't for quite a while. I asked the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency if one particular river in Minnesota was polluted before they started a mining project, and they told me they didn't have any information. And come to find out, they did have information, but the reason they wouldn't release the information is because it proved that just draining the land was causing pollution, and they didn't want to admit that to the public. So here you have public agencies concealing information, scientific information and scientific data that we're paying these people to collect with our tax dollars, is paying these people, and they don't want to release the information to us because it will infringe on the profits of the corporation doing this dirty work.
Wow. Alan, I'm going to get into a different area that millions of Americans are faced with every day. And these are some pocketbook issues right here. And during every State of the Union address, we hear the president, but we hear about jobs that will be created, yet jobs are being exported offshore. And presently, more than 20 million Americans cannot find work. We see even today, Alan, we have more than 60 million Americans, the ones that are working, we have more than 60 million that are underemployed. In other words, they're not making enough to meet all their obligations.
Right.
Alan, this is a big one. Why should we be fed up? These are pocketbook issues. We got to deal with this day after day, night after night.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, just recently, Minnesotans gave the governor a piece of their mind over all this. The governor said that Minnesota state legislators deserved a pay increase. And what he did is he used falsified information to try and make the case that these legislators should receive a pay increase. And
right, exactly. I read that on your Facebook account.
Yeah, and it's a terrible thing because if it's going on in Minnesota, it's going on all across the country.
It's going on across the country.
And he used the argument that these state legislators deserved a $54,000 pay for what they do per year on the basis that the average income for a family is $54,000 a year. Well, he didn't give the annual income for the families of these state legislators, most of whom have all kinds of other jobs, including being lawyers and everything else, not to mention that he didn't include their spouses if they had jobs or own businesses. So, you know, people really gave him a piece of their mind, and the governor said that he was insulted by what the people have to say. And, you know, these are people...
He's insulted by the people that voted him into office.
Yeah, he's insulted because the people have called him on these lies that he's putting forward to justify this raise. And people understand, you know, they're fed up with so many problems, they're asking, why should these legislators have any pay raise at all? They probably shouldn't be paid anything because they're not doing anything that benefits the majority of the people.
And it's the same way here in California, Alan.
Yeah, all over the
country. I mean, they're constantly voting additional pay raises for themselves, and the people are just completely fed up.
Yeah, and they won't do anything to raise the minimum wage significantly so it's a living wage. You know, these legislators won't do it. You bring a problem to these legislators, and they'll tell you, oh, yeah, we're gonna deal with it. And you go up to them 6 months later and ask them, what are you doing? They say, oh, our plate is so full, we haven't been able to get to that yet. They never have time for the problems of the people, problems which these same politicians created for the people because they're working for the corporations, you know, and then they say they want a pay raise. Why don't they go to the corporations who they really work for and ask them for the pay raise?
Right. And Alan, I want to still stay on these pocketbook issues when we're talking about the unemployment, because we have a massive, a huge problem with unemployment. And one of the things I see that really just irritates me, here we have students that are going for 2, 4, 6, some going for their doctorate degrees from the universities. And then here they can't even find work. And right now when you look at the unemployed college graduates, many of them, you know, they receive their diploma and then they go straight to the unemployment line. And these are funds that they're getting loans for. Their parents are helping to refinance their homes and borrow money to get them into these universities. But they can't even find jobs afterwards. As American families, as families, working people, we should be fed up.
I just, about 2 weeks ago, I met a guy in Escanaba, Michigan. And he told me that I met him in a Walmart. We started up a conversation because he was looking at meat, and I started saying, well, you know, look how much this costs and everything. Anyways, he told me that he owed $148,000 on a student loan to become a teacher. And it's been 6 years since he graduated, and he still hasn't found a job as a teacher.
6 years.
And here he's working in a Burger King.
Oh, he's working in Burger King.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the pace he's going, he won't be able to pay for that. He'll be well into his senior years, and he still won't be able to pay it.
Exactly. And
right?
A lot of
and
lot
we
of
can see that the way it's set up. Some people have actually been paying on their student debt for years, and the amount that they owe after, you know, more than a decade of paying on their student debt, they still owe more than what the initial loans were. So,
yep.
You know, it's a situation where they'll never be able to pay that debt.
Well, they suckered a lot of students, I think it was 10, 11 years ago, with real low interest rates. The interest rates on student loans were around 2%. And then they raised those student loans to, I think it was, 5% or 6%. And
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden they were stuck with these big loans, never expecting to have to pay at that kind of interest rate. So, you know, a lot of these student loans, like you say, they're more now than what the original loan was.
And that debt cannot ever be forgiven.
No.
But is it possible for that debt, is it possible for the government to make those loans or make that debt burden? Is it possible for this Congress, this nation, to deal with that?
Well, it's possible, but they're not going to.
Right, they're not going to, but it is possible.
Sure.
And we just haven't gotten to that point as a nation where we're fed up enough, where we're saying we're tired of this nonsense, because it is nonsense. Right now, again, staying with the unemployment and many of our young people that are in the high schools and college, but we look at the number, 68% of all American students will not be able to find jobs this summer. Now, I remember when I was back in the 60s, when school was out, I had a job already waiting for me. I had work available to me all the time. I mean, it was an abundance of jobs back in the 60s, and I know in the 50s, my sisters, they were older than me, but they were able to work when they were out of school. But we have 68% of all of our students in this country will not even be able to find jobs. Alan, again, we should be fed up.
Well, yeah, and it's criminal because the same politicians that are giving themselves a raise, you know, think about this. They're giving themselves a raise, and yet they can't even do the job that they're supposed to do, which would be, you know, putting people to work. You know, think about this. A politician is asking for a pay increase from people that they can't even offer jobs to or provide jobs for. This is you know, it's the epitome of hypocrisy. And we got to make these politicians responsible for attaining and maintaining full employment in this country. There's no reason why the president of this country and the Congress should not be responsible for maintaining full employment. Real full employment, where everybody and anybody that wants a job has a job at a real living wage.
And one of the things, Alan, a lot of people need to understand is when you have unemployment, when you have a company that lay off like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 workers, when you have people that are unemployed, this is a means by which big corporations protect the bottom line. In other words, how are we going to protect our profits? We will not hire so we can maintain our profits. We'll make certain that the people that are working, we're going to demand more labor out of them for the same cost, and sometimes even less. But by not creating jobs, it's only protecting the profits of these big corporations.
Right. the massive unemployment right now that we have in this country, the main purpose of it is to drive wages down. This is what they've intended to do for the last 40 or 50 years in this country, drive wages down, and they're using unemployment to do that. It's a very mean and cruel aspect of unemployment where that's used as a lever to drive wages down. As long as you got masses of people unemployed, workers are afraid to fight for higher wages, better benefits, or anything else, because they're afraid that if they say anything, the boss is going to get rid of them and hire somebody else to do the job and probably hire them cheaper.
And one of the things I was just reading just recently from the Center of Economic and Policy Research, they were saying that if minimum wage was just to keep pace with productivity, it should be at $21.72 an hour. $21.72.
Right.
And right now, when you look at the minimum wage, I mean, President Obama was saying just recently he wanted to have minimum wage at $9 an hour, still far short of where it should be.
Right.
And you have many other organizations saying that it should be at $10, a little over $10 an hour. But, Alan, just to keep pace, it should be at $21, almost $22 an hour. Something's wrong with this picture.
We
should be fed up.
Yeah, people should be very fed up with these poverty wages. And it's not going to get any better. I'm going to have to change phones here a minute, Stuart, because my battery is going down.
And what we're doing today is we're talking about why Americans should be fed up.
Can you hear me on this one?
Right, I can hear you, Alan. We have some serious
issues. Stuart, I'm
going
to have to call you back.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay.
We have some serious issues. And what we're doing is we're talking with Alan Mackey today in regards to why Americans and why working people should be fed up. And this is not only for the people that are in the work site today, but this is talking about the future. It's talking about students. Many students are coming out of colleges and out of the universities, and they can't even find work. We have students that are presently ready to go into the summer vacations where they should be able to find work. They can't find work. But we have today well over 23 million people that are unemployed. Just recently, it was in the during the last election, and this is when during the debate between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. And the Mitt Romney camp accidentally let it slip out that, you know, that there's over 20 million people that are unemployed in this country. And then quickly the Obama camp came back and say, well, his numbers are off. Well, that was one slip that was correct. There are over 20 million people that are unemployed. But what it is they keep people unemployed so that they can, as a nation, so that they can protect the profits of Wall Street. And working people should be fed up with this. Are you back with us, Alan?
Yep, I'm here.
And, Alan, and what I was just doing is I was just saying why people should be fed up. And I'm glad I saw that last couple of weeks ago where you just mentioned that you're fed up, because it got me to thinking that I'm really fed up myself. You know, I have a way to vent that over this program weekly. But in addition to that, we as a nation, we should be in the streets fed up with the mess that is going on with this government and also with this economy. Alan, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just take a slight pause here. And I would just like for you to mention your contact information and how people can be able to reach you.
Okay. People can contact me by phone. Right now I'm on the road. They get me on my cell phone, 651-587-5541. Or they can check out my blog, the Podunk blog. And that gives all my contact information there.
And thanks again, Alan. We really appreciate you joining the program every week, every other week. Alan, again, we are going to be talking about some pocketbook issues, especially when we look at students. We've been talking about that very briefly, but Alan, as a nation, working people value education, and as socialists, we believe that education is a human right. Now, if you, we look at over the past 30 years, tuitions in this nation, on average, has increased 1,120%, more than 10, 11 times of what it should have paced. Alan, I would like to ask you, why should students, because we were just talking about the massive debt the students are being strapped with, why should they be fed up with this, that rising cost? Because I see it happening here in California all the time. They say that they're going to be going up on the tuitions, and then they put some blurbs here and there on the news where people can see that there's some demonstrations or whatever, but nothing is being done. But why should students be fed up? Why should working people? Because this affect families. Why should we be fed up?
People should be fed up because you can look at other countries, very small and very poor countries compared to this country, that are providing children and young people with free educations. Countries like Finland, you can get a free education from pre-kindergarten right up through graduate degrees in university, all free. And on top of that, they got free health care. You know, this is why people should be fed up, because what we have in the system that we have going in this country that's ripping people off left and right in every aspect of their lives and creating a crisis of everyday living does not have to exist. It would be different if we lived in a very poor and underdeveloped country, but we're living in the most developed country in the world, the wealthiest country in the world, and there is no reason at all why, when working people create all this wealth, people should be forced into these circumstances. And with education, it doesn't even start with university. I know people that are that put daycare on their credit cards, and they have to pay for years for daycare, for putting their kids in daycare while they go to work. You know, so it starts right well before college. And, you know, other countries all over the world provide free daycare. And
right,
you know why we can't do it in this country? There's no reason why we can't, and that's why people should be fed up. We just got to end these wars and start taxing the rich, and we can take care of all of our problems.
And, you know, I see what you mentioned about daycare. I see from time to time, and I work in the automobile industry, and, you know, I talk to people that are looking for credit to make purchases on vehicles. But very often I find a person to say that they have given up their job because they needed to be at home to be able to they couldn't afford daycare. And
no, the daycare
in many cases, yeah, in many cases, they had to fork out anywhere from $1,000 to $1,200 a month for daycare. So essentially, they had to go and earn far beyond that to be able to pay the taxes and everything. So they saw it was worthwhile just not to go to work.
Right.
But as you mentioned, in many other countries, daycare, even in Japan, daycare is taken care of for these families.
Yeah, all the Scandinavian countries have daycare and child care and mostly free universities and everything else. And, you know, so it doesn't even, you know, socialism would make it more possible, but it doesn't even take socialism. All these kinds of reforms are possible even under capitalism if people get together and demand it. It's just like when we got Social Security and unemployment insurance and, you know, welfare. People fought for these things, and they got these major reforms. And we've got to get together and realize that all of our problems are problems that we share in common. And so we've got to fight together to get these kinds of programs and reforms, not allow the government to cut what we already have, but we got to make advances and, you know, win some major reforms in this country to help people through these problems.
And, Alan, I'm going to stay with education just for a few more minutes here. And we see teachers are losing their jobs across the nation to city, state, and federal cutbacks. And we see that a lot is taking place as far as in the toward privatization of education. Why should teachers be fed up?
Well, teachers should be fed up because politicians who are supposed to be responsible for paying their wages and salaries are increasing their own salaries and they're funding wars instead of paying for teachers, which we need. And not only are teachers are being, the jobs are being cut, not only that, but wages and salaries for teachers and for the rest of the school staff, janitors and everything else are being slashed and cut. You know, this at a time when we're, none of these politicians complain when Israel takes our money and goes to bomb Syria. Nobody complains. But yet, these politicians are the first ones to say, we can't afford to pay teachers more. We can't afford more teachers. We can't afford child care. We can't afford preschool or even kindergarten programs. You know, this makes no sense at all to most people, and this is why people are getting so fed up.
And people can't understand, as you mentioned, these wars, Alan, they're costing trillions of dollars.
Yeah, they're literally killing us.
It's killing us as a nation. And, I mean, it's been the history of the world, but we can now see it firsthand right here in this country. We see also, Alan, our public school system in the states during the last election when I was running as a presidential candidate, and I was traveling across the country, but I could see many of our high schools and our colleges, state colleges, you can see that they're in a state of decline because the monies are not there to be able to maintain these facilities. Again, Alan, why should we be fed up? I mean, I saw this in New York. I saw it in New Jersey, in Tennessee. I saw it throughout here in California and throughout the country. But why, again, I had mentioned that it's because of these dirty wars. We are spending, I want to say to our listeners again, we are spending trillions, with a T, trillions of dollars on these wars. And these are monies that we need to be using for our infrastructure, for our schools, to make certain that we have education for our kids. But, Alan, why should we be fed up?
Well, we should be fed up that, I go into a lot of schools, too, and to speak to classes and whatnot. And, a lot of these schools, they're in such disrepair, and they actually smell like prisons.
They do.
And I tell people this, and people sometimes don't believe me, and I've had parents say, I'm going to go into school and see what's going on there. And they come back and tell me, yeah, geez, it does stink in that school, because they've laid off the janitors and everything. And it's a terrible thing. And people are going to have to begin to organize and get together and begin to make these demands on government, because if they don't, the government's just going to keep taking and putting this money into wars. They're going to keep taking this money and doing what they can to subsidize Wall Street's profits. And the people will never come first. It's supposed to be of, by, and for the people. And yet these politicians in power have been so bribed by the corporations, they've forgotten what of the people, by the people, and for the people even means.
Alan, I want to stay with, when we look at, looking at the poor, looking at working people, and we're looking at the richest people and corporations in our society, and after the economic collapse of 2008, we had millions of working people, they were losing their homes to foreclosure across this country. Yet we saw Wall Street bankers and these lending institutions, but we saw many of them, they were being rescued by the government and they were being bailed out. And this was very blatant. They did it. You could look at your news, you could look on the internet, but the government and this Congress was just bailing Wall Street out. Why should we be fed up?
Well, we should be fed up because they're letting the rest of us drown. And a government should be in place for the purpose of trying to make life better for the people. People have had now their homes have been taken away left and right. Millions of people have lost their homes. They've been forced to move into these dilapidated mobile homes and everything. And they've been taking advantage of their high interest rates to buy these dilapidated mobile homes that are rising up all across this country for people that have lost good homes. And, you know, this is one reason why people should just be plain fed up, because this government only cares about the wealthy and the rich and the corporations. Well, the Supreme Court made the corporations a person. You know, people should be just totally fed up about that, because anybody with any common sense
knows. Explain to our listeners what you just mentioned about that, Alan.
Well, the United States Supreme Court ruled that a corporation is a person, giving corporations the same rights as people. They're willing to.
Now,
has
this happened anywhere else in the world that you know of?
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of either.
I
mean, it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah,
pardon me?
People all over the world think it's the epitome of insanity.
I have
Canadians stop by my house all the time, and they say, "What the heck is wrong with your government?" You know, and that considers a corporation a person. And
yeah.
It's bad enough to give corporations all these benefits, but then to declare that a corporation has the rights of a person.
The
and
same
corporations,
rights.
Yeah, well, more than the same rights. Because,
they have more rights.
Yeah, exactly. And this should never have been allowed to be, and we're going to have to fight that now.
And corporations are allowed to engage in criminal activities, and then they get by with it. Look what happened down in the Gulf. You know, look what happened when corporations commit criminal acts. They don't even bother to investigate it to the nth degree to make certain that they are responsible for the costs that the burden of costs that they place on society. But we see that this happened with working people all the time. You do something criminal, the government is relentless.
Yeah, you just drive drunk or get a speeding ticket and see what they do to you. You know, you're prosecuted to a greater extent than a corporation that blows up four city blocks down there in Texas. You know, even in Pakistan, where the building collapsed, they arrested the owner of the building. Nobody's been arrested down there in Texas, where you had this huge explosion. And, you know, that explosion there shows how the government and these corporations collude and connive, even when the human health and safety is impacted, you know. And,
well, look at what happened on Wall Street when all those criminals caused people to lose their savings and their homes. How many of those bankers were arrested?
None that I know of. And,
not one.
Holder says that the attorney general says that he's afraid that if he has them arrested, that they'll retaliate against us. You know, that's what he said. That's what the attorney general of this country said, that he was afraid
that sounded
of
like a cop-out
corporate retaliation.
Statement.
What?
That sounded like a cop-out statement. He was copping out.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he wasn't just copying out. He was looking for an excuse, and that's the excuse that he came up with. And these are typical of the excuses that the politicians come up with, and this is what's making people fed up. And they can only push people so far. And the point at which they can no longer push people is when people can no longer survive. And
right.
We're getting to that point real soon in this country, because it's, like I say, it's not a matter in a very poor country and an undeveloped country. We're living in the wealthiest country in the world, the most developed country in the world. And, you know, the things that people have a right to expect, they're not being provided with. And they're getting wars instead. They're getting all these bribes to the politicians. You just look at the bribes that the lobbyists hand out to politicians, and then what we could do with that money alone, or the campaign,
right.
The campaign money that these people are spending. You know, literally billions and billions of dollars on political campaigns in this country now.
Hmm.
You know, you think, what could that money be used for? How many child care centers could it build? How many health care centers could that money build? And yet they think nothing of spending that money for those kinds of that kind of foolishness when people are suffering and going without. You know, at some point things got to come to a head, and people are going to rebel. There's no way around it. They think that people won't. They think that they got people brainwashed. But no matter how brainwashed they might have people, there's a point at which, when people can no longer put food on the table, that brainwashing isn't going to amount to anything.
Well, Alan, I'm going to focus a little bit more on the seniors that are listening to our program and seniors within our communities. But when we look at Social Security, Social Security has obviously has failed to keep pace with the rising cost of living, and many seniors depend solely on their Social Security earnings. Now, Alan, when you really look at across the nation, most seniors are living on less than $1,500 a month on their Social Security. Now, I can tell you here in California, $1,500 won't go, you know, won't go that far. Why should seniors, and you see seniors, you know, come election time, you know, they're talking about their candidates or whatever. Why should seniors be fed up?
Well, seniors should be fed up because they have a right to expect that Social Security is more than just a miserly little handout to sort of help people along. You know, we got the right to expect that the Social Security system will be a national retirement system. And these politicians don't want to talk about that. Many countries have a national retirement system, and that's what we need in this country, too. Social Security should be a living income for everyone. You know, that's the bottom line. It should be a living income for everyone, and it's not. And
you call it, you say a national what?
A national retirement system.
A national retirement system.
Yeah, that means
and
that it provides
we're long overdue for that.
What?
Right. And, you know, I was just reading an article just yesterday. It was talking about this person that had a sole income, and I'm not going to mention the person's name, sole income of $1,354 a month from Social Security. And of that, she pays $1,105 a month for room and board in an adult family home, and about $185 a month for health insurance. That leaves her less than $65 a month for other expenses.
Yeah.
$65 a month of a total income of $1,354. Alan, obviously this is one senior that should be pissed. That's the word I really want to say, not fed up, pissed off.
Yeah,
but
the seniors
yeah,
are.
This,
seniors
this person
are
should really be fed up.
Yeah.
And I look
are.
At my mother. She's 89 years old, and she worked more than 50 years of her life. And she's alive today, more than 50 years. And here she received less than $900 a month, and she still has her RN license. But she has mentioned she never thought it would be this tough to be able to survive on Social Security. Now, of course, we as a family, we try to help where she can stay with us, you know, stay with members of the family. But 50 years, Alan, 50
yeah.
years, and nine working as a registered nurse in the nursing industry all of her life, working adult life, and receiving less than $900 a month. Alan, we should be fed up.
Yeah, we should be fed up and ashamed at that situation. In this country, and we should be fed up that these politicians are talking about cutting Social Security rather than expanding benefits.
Right.
You know, again, we've got a situation where we got politicians, instead of making things better for people, they're making things worse for people, and they're trying to make us believe that what they're doing is the only thing and the only option open to them and to us. You know, when it's not. You know, they don't want us to challenge the system. They don't want us to say, hey, stop those wars and spend that money on what we need. They don't want us to say, tax the rich because we created that wealth and let's redistribute the wealth in this country so we can provide for human needs. You know, they don't want a discussion like that in this country. They're afraid of that discussion, and yet they call it a democracy and they won't tolerate that discussion. And yet we know the majority of the American people are more than willing and they're eager to have that discussion in this country, and we're just not having it.
And, Ellen, I'm going to sort of go through a few of these things. And, Ellen, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing much of the frustration that millions of Americans and working people have every day. One of the things I was going to just mention to you is that we have very little time to ourselves, because now we're just trying to work overtime or extra time or two jobs and sometimes three jobs just to try to make ends meet, where we don't have any time for relaxation, vacations, or anything, and we don't even have time for our families. That in
right.
itself, we should be fed up with that. But
I'll tell
here,
you, Stuart, you
uh-huh.
can go all over this country, wherever you want, and talk to working class families. And the working class families where there aren't where one person isn't working at least two jobs, and another spouse or another member of the household working another job, and they still can't keep their heads above the water. We're talking about people working three jobs in a family, and they can't even survive. You know, this is a disgrace. I worked at Walmart, and there was one guy there at Walmart. He worked on the cheese wall. I was working on the lunch meat wall. He was working 2.5 jobs, 18 hours a day, and barely could get home in time to take a little nap, and he would start all over again. And this guy was almost 60 years old.
Almost 60.
Yeah.
And there's literally
millions of people like that in this country.
Here, I'll look at my situation. My wife, she works one job, and then she has a part-time job that she works in home health care. And then myself, I work somewhere between 250 to 300 hours a month. Well, you can figure out the math on that. I'm working two jobs at one job.
Yeah.
And it doesn't leave you too much time for yourself. And people, look at the wealthy in our society. Look at the people there on Wall Street. They have a plenty of time for relaxation and be able to take vacations around the world and spend time on their yachts and their private jets and like that. And many of the executives even working there, they have a plenty of time to themselves. And working people need this. This is good also for the family as well. And,
exactly.
And, Alan, we only have like around another 6 or 7 minutes here, and I just want to cover a few other things, which is when I look at, as a nation, we're stuck with a two-party system. Now, I know you could go on about that for the next 15 or 20 minutes. Why should people be fed up with that we only have a two-party system in this country?
Because it's not providing us the alternatives that we're talking about on this program today.
Right.
The Democrats and Republicans, they're controlling the debate in this country, and they're not allowing us to talk about creating a society where human needs come before corporate greed and all this wasteful military spending. And when you got two political parties, both with the same aims of making Wall Street all-powerful in this country, you know, we're not going to have any change, and people should be really fed up with that. Because no matter what the Democrats say, no matter how nice their words sound, they're doing the exact same thing that the Republicans intended to do. So, you know, the people are getting a shaft left and right from the Republicans and the Democrats, and people should be fed up that we're not having the proper discussion in this country that a democracy requires.
Now, Alan, President Obama made a promise to the American people back in 2008 that he would end these wars within his first 9 months in office and bring the troops home. Now, that was, in my opinion, that was a broken promise. Why should people be fed up that we have spent more than $3 trillion on these wars in the last during his administration within the last four and a half years? Why should people be fed up with that?
Well, because this money isn't going for things that we need, like housing, schools, health care. That's why they should be fed up. But more than that, you know, under Obama, this drone thing has just sort of expanded out of nowhere. And I was just reading an article, I think it was in the New York Times, where more drone controllers are being trained than Air Force, Army, and Navy pilots.
Wow.
You know, so that means that this country intends to go after people all over the world with these drones, and that's the way they're going to try and fight these so-called wars. They're nothing but dirty imperialist wars, and they're becoming dirtier and dirtier all the time. And if you look at it, you know, I read some other figures where they where Obama had 14 people on Yemen in a, on his hit list on his desk, and I think it was I forgot the exact figure, but I think it was 60 or 70 times they tried to get these people and they never got them. But instead of killing them, each time they killed no less than seven innocent people.
Wow.
So, you know, these are the kinds of dirty wars we're involved in. I mean, the American people should be ashamed. They should be fed up. They should demand
the
end to these drones.
You hit it right on the head, Alan. The people in this country should be ashamed.
Yeah.
The people, if you're not fed up, then you should be ashamed. Because
yep.
if you're not part of looking for the solution, you're part of the problem.
Exactly. And,
President Obama also... Alan, I'm just going to cover a couple, probably one or two more. President Obama also promised that he would close Guantanamo, and we've been hearing this in the news just recently. But he said he was going to do this within his first year in office. This was back in 2009. Now we've been hearing that repeat promise. Right now it's costing the American taxpayers and costing working people $830,000 for each person that is housed there at Guantanamo. Alan, why should we be fed up with this?
Well, we should be fed up because it's a complete everything he's doing there is in contradiction to what our Constitution and Bill of Rights stands for, and it's being carried now into our own society. We saw the other day the FBI put what's her name? The woman that's in Cuba right now.
I just remember. Actually, I think I saw it on your site. I can't remember the name, though.
Yeah, anyways, the FBI named her to the their terrorist list. And, you know, she's not, no matter what, even if she was convicted, and most people feel she was convicted unfairly and without a fair trial, but... you know, for sure she is not anyone that can be described as a terrorist. So what we're seeing in this country is in retaliation for people's political beliefs, they're being put on terrorist lists. And, you know, this is going from the FBI under the COINTELPRO. They started calling everybody that was for peace and social justice, they started calling all of us subversives. And now instead of calling us subversives, they're calling us terrorists. This should concern everyone. You know, because we got a government that's trying to prevent people from having the discussion that's got to take place, and anybody that wants to start discussing real issues in this country, they're going to become targets of this government.
Right, you become a target.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean they put you on a list.
Yeah.
And if you're outside of the country, they put you on a hit list.
Yeah, they're carrying out vendettas against people for speaking out.
Right. Alan, we have just a couple more minutes, but I just want you to speak to our listeners. And, Alan, I always enjoy having you on the program because you add so much to the discussion. But, Alan, could you just share with our listeners before we end this within the next minute or so, why should people be fed up?
Well, people should be fed up because we got a capitalist system that's crumbling. It's evolved into a terrible... barbaric and cannibalistic system of imperialism that's literally creating wars that are killing us just like it's killing people that they're attacking, and there's no end in sight. People should be fed up about that. You know, all we've got to look forward to in this country now is war after war after war, with austerity measures being shoved down our throats, which means that our standard of living is going to be slashed and cut to the bone. And, you know, we're living in a country where we're going to see people starving just like they do in poor countries around the world as a result of imperialist policies, and this has to end.
And, Alan, I always enjoy having you join us. Could you give your contact information, how people can reach you? And we look forward to having you back on in another 2 weeks. Alan,
sure.
Can you give your contact information?
651 is the phone number, 651-587-5541, or you can Google my name, Alan Mackey, A-L-A-N-M-A-K-I, and you'll find my Podunk blog and all my contact information, email, and everything is there.
Alan, again, thanks for joining the Socialist Insight. And to reach us with any of your comments, just go to Stuart Alexander Cares, stuartalexandercares.com, right there at the contact information. Just put in your comments, and we will look forward to hearing from you. Again, we look forward to also having you to join us again next week for the Socialist Insight. Thanks again. Have a good night.
Yep, thanks for having me, Stuart.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Aramarte Feo on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. And this is the Research Rabbit Hole with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hey, Ruthann, how are you? Do we have our caller yet?
No, we don't have our guest yet.
Okay. Should I try to call her again or?
This must be her. Elena?
Yes?
Yes, okay, there you go.
Here
Cynthia,
we go.
There.
Am I supposed to do the introduction and everything?
I don't know. Do you want the? I guess so. Did you get the email of my blurb?
Yes, I did. Uh huh.
Okay, ladies, you're on the air.
Okay, welcome to the Research Rabbit Hole Radio Show with Cynthia Hamill. Tonight we go further into the rabbit hole. So far that they literally erased all of the correspondence that I had with the tonight's guest for my YouTube and Yahoo account. So apparently someone doesn't want the show to air. So if you experience any type of technical difficulties or whatever, it may just be par for the course because the information that we're sharing tonight is so secret, so top secret, so classified that probably some people don't want this information going out. But we're going to do the show anyway. And tonight's guest is Alana Freeland. Alana is an author. She's actually working on a book right now on chemtrails and HARP technology for Feral House Press. She has an extensive writing background and is the editor for Ron Patton's publication, Paranoia Magazine. Ron Patton was my guest speaker last show and highly recommended Alana for the upcoming interview. So, Alana, I'm so glad to have you on the show, and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. So, fill us in on all the research that you've been doing for your latest book.
Well, HARP, I remember in 1996, when I got back to the Pacific Northwest from grad school at St. John's College in New Mexico, I found Nick Begich's book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, and I began to read it. I would take it with me to substitute teacher jobs that I had then for eking out a living to support my last child at home. And I was at a high school not far from Fort Lewis McChord Air Force Base, where many of the kids that go there are base kids. And I happened to be reading it at the faculty lunch table when a couple of guys sat down, a couple of teachers, and asked me what I was reading, and I began to tell them the little bit that I knew. And sitting beside, to my left, was a woman rather mousy in appearance and extremely shy, with her nose almost buried in her sandwich. And we just talked for maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and I didn't say all that much. But the next day, I was home, and I had a military helicopter come over my house for 5 minutes. And I definitely connected the two incidents, and that began a lot of trouble for me. A phone tap with click, 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 and various anomalies happening around my little cul-de-sac house, coming home, and things are moved around in my house. So I was introduced to HAARP and to this, this sort of volatile realm of research that I'm sure some of your listeners have experienced.
Yes.
And now that Adam, who, you know, Adam Parfrey, head of Feral House Press, I've done some work for him before, and we're rather a bit of friends. And when he asked me to write a book on chemtrails, I thought it was just par for the course to do a full circle back around to where I had actually been reading Nick's book. And I'm completely excited about the topic and a little overwhelmed by the research project. I mean, I'm a ghostwriter, so I've written, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 books for other people. So I know how to organize a book. But in this case, there's so little that is actually published in book form. You can think of Nick's book. And then there was Will Thomas's Chemtrails Confirmed, and then Rosalie Bertell's book on planet Earth and weaponizing the weather. Then Jerry Smith came out with a book on HAARP in 99, and then his next book was Weather Warfare. And that's about it.
Wow.
So I've been like shuffling through masses of newspaper, you know, things from the net, alternative press, mainstream press, papers, abstracts, patents, in order to build the story that is slowly unfolding before me as to this. And I think it is relatively new, though Dane Wigington has definitely been addressing the relationship to a small degree between barium and aluminum and HAARP. But I think in his case, he feels that, you know, he's very much on a trajectory and busy doing that, and doesn't have time to really come up to speed on HAARP. I was very fortunate in being close friends with Clifford Carnicum down in Santa Fe, and Clifford has been immensely helpful to me. We spent several nights on the phone going over Barnard J. Eastland's original patent for HAARP and going through it sentence by sentence as we deconstructed what he was saying, and literally everything that you need to know about HAARP is in that document in abbreviated form and very relatively formal language, but it's all there. The chemtrails are in there, the necessity of the chemtrails for HAARP to operate, the amazing cyclotronic resonance theory, which is essential to understand for all of HAARP and what it can do.
Now,
and,
breaking
and what
right
I,
there, just to make sure that our audience is following us, psychotronic weapons happen to be the mind control element of HARP technology, which links with chemtrails. And from my understanding, and you may need to correct me if I'm wrong, Alana, but from what I've researched, basically chemtrails are sprayed into the air to act as a medium, almost like a paint liquid or something like that, where they activate the sky and turn the sky into an electromagnetic functioning directed energy weapon application. Is that correct?
Basically, it is. There's a couple. I would tweak it a little bit, and I will do that. I just want to clarify, though, Cynthia, that cyclotronic resonance is not the same thing as psychotronic. The cyclotronic resonance has to do with the frequency and the pulse that can go straight into nervous systems. And that, of course, is the huge factor that I'm coming up with. But I thought first, let's start by looking at the atmosphere and build a picture for your listeners, because a lot of people think, well, if you're not an atmospheric physicist or a geoengineer at least, how can you possibly understand this intricate, sophisticated technology? But I think, not to say that I could go sparring against an astrophysicist, but I think I could, I've spent enough time on it that I can see a picture of how it works. And
well,
maybe
paint us a picture. Give us an idea.
Yes, maybe my
words.
Picture even needs tweaking. I don't know, but here's how I now see it. The atmosphere, as we have known it, is no more. As everyone knows, with all the electronic devices that we've had since Edison, I suppose, but particularly in this era of technology, we have amassed a huge electromagnetic soup that we're all living in.
Yeah.
All right. That's the soup. And it certainly has its impact. But when cell phones came out and we all were plugged into the Wi-Fi, particularly the Wi-Fi, then something else began. And that would be around the year that HARP was activated, and the flights for chemtrails became much more predominant. And that would be 1995 or so. So now there's an atmosphere around us that's already impregnated by electromagnetics. But with HARP and the building of particularly of the ionospheric heaters around the world, and HARP was not the first one, probably Arecibo Radio Observatory down in Puerto Rico was the second. ISCAT, which is in Northern Europe, That preceded Arecibo. So,
now, is
but
that
HARP
the one
is,
in Norway?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know how to pronounce it. Tromsø, I think it is.
Okay. I've never heard the names of those, but I knew the location that they were in Norway.
Uh-huh. There's one in Norway. There's one in Puerto Rico. And then there are actually about 15 others besides HARP. But let's concentrate on HARP because it's the most powerful of them all.
Okay.
And it also has an ability to mirror and steer that the others don't have. And this is what gives it its great power. So to get HARP up and running so that the atmosphere needed to be changed into something that was more active. And so that's when they began laying the barium and aluminum, and particularly, and then strontium, of course, but let's cover aluminum and barium. Aluminum is highly reflective. It's a desiccant. It takes liquid out of the air, and a lot of. I think that at the at the Chemtrails conference where you and I met last year, and in the films, certainly, why in the world are they spraying? By Mike Murphy, it became evident. It's become evident to farmers and foresters and people that love the planet and spend a lot of time in nature that this laying of aluminum in the chemtrails is just wreaking havoc on the vegetation and in the soil. It's turning the soil highly alkaline. So this is a problem for agriculture, which is our food, and that's a very big part of HARP, because though you think that HARP, it certainly is a weapon, but it is a multi-purpose weapon. And one of the things that Dane Wigington and Mike Murphy and all those guys there, other than Clifford, what they were into was the fact that this is ruining the earth and the vegetation, and that farmers, organic farmers in particular, and farmers in developing countries such as India, are being forced out by this. It's ruining their crops, and then they can't survive on the little bit that they're making. They can't sell their products that aren't there, and so they sell their land for a song. And actually, that's very true. I've checked, and particularly today, I was looking at Europe, and in Europe, most of the land is now has been purchased by very large corporations, mostly agribiz or connected to agribiz, wealthy families, Saudi princes, etc. So there is a movement to control the food supply through HARP and the chemtrails. And what HARP does to the chemtrails that are laid, the aluminum I've just been talking about, I haven't talked about barium yet, what it does is it takes that energy that it brings down from the ionosphere, and that energy, we could call it plasma. And plasma, there's two terms that we all need to come to terms with. One is plasma, and one is what it means to ionize an atmosphere, because that's what's happening to our atmosphere. It is being ionized by the ionospheric heaters that are pumping billion watts up to the ionosphere, bouncing it back off, sort of cycling it around to receive it again, and then through various mirror configurations, moving that energy, that plasma, which is the fourth state of matter, around to wherever they want it to go. And that could be a drought, that can be a hurricane, that can be a tornado, it can be a flood. And so in that way, what we heard at the conference last year is absolutely true, that weather has been made into a weapon.
Yeah.
And we don't even need to prove it other than the fact that it behooves us to understand how it's being done, because the Air Force came out with that document years ago about making weather into an instrument of war. So now let's... That's aluminum, and aluminum plays a role in the thing I'm most interested in, because I kind of feel like the weather thing has been handled very well, though I have a good chapter on the weather and the fat cats of Wall Street who are making a fortune off of weather derivatives, because they obviously have an inside track on what weather is going to be where. So that's pretty well handled by Wigington and Mike Murphy and the rest of those excellent
people.
That was
in Michael's second movie, by the way, for my audience, if you want to check that out. It's called Why in the World Are They Spraying? Michael's first movie was called What in the World Are They Spraying? And the second was Why in the World Are They Spraying? So if you get a chance, both are available on YouTube. They're free to watch. So just bring out the popcorn and watch both of those things, and it will catch you up to date on kind of the background of what she's talking about. So go ahead, Alana. I just wanted to fill them in on where the research points were, where they could find their own information.
And that's good, because one of the reasons that they concentrated on the weather and weather derivatives angle of this weather warfare instrument is because it can be proven. And there's a lot of data on that. Now, for other things that are going on, one being, and I'll just touch on it briefly, Clifford Carnicom is completely dedicated to the biological aspect of what might be being piggybacked on not just the, it's not the aluminum and barium so much, it is, and I will get back to the barium, I haven't forgotten, that's my baby. There are polymers also in these chemtrails, and there are also nanoparticulates.
Yeah.
And Clifford has become quite an expert at examining these under a high-powered microscope, and really doing a lot of research, original research on what these are being used for. Well, one of the things that it's that it's being used for is as a framing device for biologicals that are coming down for experimentation, one would assume. And Clifford has become quite well known for his research into Morgellons. And Morgellons is not actually called a disease, it's called a condition or something like that. And it is absolutely bizarre. I was involved in Clifford's research because I was living in Santa Fe for five years, and we examined, he had his red wine test, which you can find on the internet, where you slosh your mouth with red wine and spit it into a clean dish or a jar, and then look for the fiber content. He has at, I think it's called Carnicom Institute now at his site, he is inviting people to become part of the study into the fibers. It doesn't, if you have the fibers, which I assume just about all of us do, because we've been breathing this now for about 10 years, what's coming down, it doesn't mean you're going to get Morgellons. I just want to do a little hand-holding there. That's not what it means. Because the Morgellons itself is a strange creature. It's a nanotech creation. It has mycoplasma. It has various things stuck to it, sort of like a tar baby. But it doesn't activate in everyone. It does activate in some people, and perhaps some of your listeners know some Morgellons victims. So one of the theories I have, and Clifford is willing to consider it, is because of its behavior in certain instances of people I've interviewed and read about, it's possible that it could be remotely triggered into developing into the ghastly looking thing on the net where you see the fibers coming out of the skin. That's only a theory, but it is obviously it has microprocessors in it, as do many of the particulate matter that is coming down on us, raining down and going. It's being breathed, it's being ingested in our food, it's it's in the soil and in the air, and in water.
I just want to take a quick break and remind my audience that if you have not seen this, you seriously need to get on Google and Google Morgellons, M-O-R-G-E-L-L-O-N-S, is that right? Morgellons disease?
Yes,
okay, and oh my gosh, you will not believe these creepy crawler-looking nanoparticles that are crawling out of people's skin, folks. You've got to see it. Until you see it under a microscope and see what's going on, it sounds like some type of sci-fi, like something that Tom Cruise would have, you know, been in, like some type of Minority Report movie or something like that, because it's so far-fetched and so far out. You wouldn't believe it until you actually see these pictures, but this is an infliction that's happening across the universe. This is not isolated to the United States or to one country or another. This is global. So please get online and Google this, okay? So, sorry, that was my PR announcement on Morgellons disease. Okay, back
Very
to you,
good.
Alana. Okay.
So the polymer part that is According to Clifford, and I highly recommend that people go to Clifford Carnicom's site to also educate themselves. He has many, many papers on his site. And I think it's called CarnicomInstitute.com now. So it's Carnicom, C-A-R-N-I-C-O-M, Institute.com. The polymers that I mentioned and the nano in some configuration are sheathing, are the sheath around various microorganisms that appear to have been developed in laboratories. So that's that. Do I know what to do about Morgellons? No. I'm not, for one thing, I haven't gotten to that chapter yet. I have that chapter yet to write, and I will go very much from Clifford Carnicom's excellent research. Now, let's go back to the barium. Barium is a communications heavy metal. It is. It has many qualities which tie into communication. And when we think of communication, it is normal for us to think of telephone calls, television waves, maybe drones, somebody operating a drone sitting in Colorado Springs, killing people by drone in Afghanistan. But communication, and beyond satellite, communication means a massive amount of things that have to do with controlling how the world goes. So I'd like to read a little bit from someone on the net. I'm going to give them full credit. I have been so impressed, Cynthia, with I've had to wade through a lot of stuff, and you always hear how on the internet there's so much disinformation and BS and
yeah,
all those agents that the NSA puts in there to confuse you and trigger your anger and things. And no, I haven't had much of any of that, knock on wood, but I have been impressed by how many people there are in this wonderful world of ours on the internet working diligently at real research, chasing down HAARP and chemtrails.
Yeah.
It is nothing short of astounding. And this is one person. He calls himself, and perhaps it's his real name, very nice name, John St. John of Parksville. I don't know where Parksville is. In the PQBnews.com, he has a very short blurb on smart meters and chemtrails. And we can talk about smart meters, too. The main chemicals in the spraying are aluminum, strontium, and barium. Chances are we've been breathing this concoction for over a decade now. But did you know that barium conducts electromagnetic energy?
Yeah.
We are 80% water, and now with a highly conductive metal inside us that we've been breathing, we are essentially a highly conductive walking antenna. Smart meter wireless technology affects us now at an even greater rate because it is literally being conducted more easily through our very bodies, creating an electrical charge that is foreign to the very complex and delicate electrical system we evolved with over the many ages of human and animal evolution on this earth. This extra charge opens the blood-brain barrier, letting blood proteins and other toxins present in the blood into the brain to kill brain cells. No wonder so many people are reporting headaches and migraines, fogginess, unclear thinking, forgetfulness, lack of clarity and focus, lack of concentration, impaired learning, and accelerated dementia and Alzheimer's. And that's just the mental functions. Never mind cancer, MS, Parkinson's, infertility, and the list goes on and on and on. The statistics show that all these conditions increased dramatically at the same time as they started spraying and will continue to do so if we don't stop it.
Wow. The presence has been for me this whole time. After I saw this in my neighborhood and it looked like a freaking war zone, I was just like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is crazy. What are they doing out here? Yeah, this stuff needs to be stopped and stopped now.
And the normal story, as you know, is that it's solar radiation management, SRM, and it's all being done for our own good to reflect back from the aluminum, to reflect back the sunlight so that we're not in global warming. However, listeners may have noticed that the term global warming has been less and less because of, well, the extreme weather. I mean, not only do we have extreme summers, but we're having extreme winters. In fact, what, in the Midwest, on May 1st, they had a huge snowstorm?
Yeah, so I got a call from my friend in Kansas City, and she was like, it's snowing here. It's May the 1st. So how
exactly.
crazy is that?
And in England, they had so much snow this last winter, and so many of their animals, their herds were lost. So extreme weather, now we're calling it climate change. Okay, that won't set them up for the fact that there has been no global warming to speak of since 2006, and that's data. I have found that. So with the barium, not only is the barium and aluminum combo heating up our atmosphere, and it is. In fact, if I were to talk about the Arctic melting that's going on now up by the pole, I would have to say you've got to bring HAARP and chemtrails into the discussion, or I don't want to waste my time. And those items are always missing from all the hand-wringing and moaning and groaning that goes on over the melting of the Arctic. It is even possible that, and I allude to this in my history chapter, it is even possible that they are attempting to create a new waterway in the Arctic and melting it on purpose.
I've seen that.
The dream back in the 50s. That was a real possibility that all the scientists were thinking about and contemplating. So,
Alana, I've actually seen the photos of that. You can Google it, and there are definitely channels that they've literally cut into the ice where they're able now to transport boats and ships and whatever, you know, all the way through those glaciers. So it's literally melting and cutting directly into glaciers. And I've been to Alaska. I've seen how big those glaciers are. And that is a huge feat to go in there and literally cut and slice those just as if they were like slicing through bread, you know. So it's amazing what they've done with all this. So please Google
and
that.
And it brings up the very real possibility of geography and the changing of the geographic nature of places, and that would include, I'm convinced that down by New Orleans, after the BP spill, we had Katrina, which was geoengineered, and now they're having, as you know, sinkholes.
Yeah,
salt domes are crumbling, and salt domes are huge. There seems to be a subsidence going on in Louisiana and Mississippi, which means they're going to lose coastal area. And yes, part of this could be the waterways opening up in the Arctic and coming this way. Certainly, the water levels could be up in certain places because the Earth is one being. But more than that, I've been studying some of the, again, excellent research of a few people on the web regarding the New Madrid Fault Line, which runs basically from Louisiana, Mississippi, up past Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, all the way up to the St. Lawrence Waterway, in a sense, all the way up to New York. And this is where long, long ago, the two continents that the United States represents sort of smashed together. And the New Madrid is a very volatile fault line. I think the last time it had a huge earthquake, and I'm not sure what huge means. It was, I want to say seven, but I don't remember, was in 1811. And apparently they think there's a rhythm of every 200 years, but I actually don't know whether I want to believe that or not. I'm not sure about the source. So along this New Madrid now, there are detonations. People are hearing growls. They're hearing strange sounds in the night. Birds are dying, huge flocks of birds dropping as one.
Yeah, I wanted to break in there and talk about the BB Arkansas bird kill that happened January the 1st, I believe it was 2010, the first day of the year. And shortly after that, within less than 100 miles, there were 5,000 fish that went belly up. So they were doing some type of harp activation or some, you know, that they claimed that there was some type of poisoning going on, but it just didn't fit. And then
Yeah, electromagnetic.
I think they actually killed one man to keep him quiet. Remember the guy that was allegedly killed and found in the garbage container? Do you remember that story?
No. Not to do with this.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But
no, that's okay. I would say that your intuition, and I think everyone ought to start believing their intuition as soon as they begin to educate themselves on electromagnetics. The last era was remembered for radiation. This era, this 21st century, will be remembered for electromagnetics, and it behooves all of us to study it. So along the New Madrid, there is definite activity, and it is even possible, if I can believe a so-called Navy, U.S. Navy map, that the idea is to split the United States with an inland sea along the Mississippi River Valley that cuts all the way up to Ohio and the Great Lakes. So very possible. Very possible. Geography is being shifted and moved around with no temerity whatsoever, with the usual sociopathic arrogance that our Earth always has had to put up with, but never for a long time anyway, to this degree, with this absolutely amazing technology and brilliance. Brilliance in this science, but again, the destructive military mindset that always stamps things and takes them away from the good they might do. I mean, I can't even imagine any good at this point. But to go back to the barium, this would be the all of these geographic things that are going on are all what I consider to be under communication, because they require satellites, they require computers, they require ground bases, they require possibly even underground bases at certain points. So, and HAARP, of course, has tomographic ability to be able to penetrate the Earth for miles. So it could be that a real estate deal is underway along the New Madrid and other places, the Arctic. It also could be that the heating from the aluminum and barium and the activity itself of the electromagnetic energy that were popping up and bouncing off of the ionosphere, what happens is that they bounce it up, it creates a bubble in the ionosphere, which, again, some people are afraid might burst, and we would be in very dire straits then. But that bubble then sucks up our atmosphere to all the way, you know, the meso and stratosphere. It sucks it up into it, and then round robin, it comes back down fully heated. So it could be that that activity of ionizing our atmosphere plus the tomographic ability of HARP and the ability to move the jet stream and weather systems, perhaps it is forcing the Earth into a response. That is very possible. And so I'm watching with great interest the New Madrid.
Yep.
So to go on with the barium, communications, let's talk about some psychotronic possibilities. Again, I'm going to turn to something I found that's very good. And it's from a what I considered a rather strange site. Maybe no one else would, but it was called the Plejaren, Plejaren Federation was the name of the site. And there were only a few things on it, and there were no authors to that were speaking, so I'm assuming it's somebody's site, but no name. But this, the other things on there were not that interesting to me, but this is really, really good. And this person either did their homework or they are perhaps an insider. So all of this is Star Wars. And
yeah.
They spray barium powders, and the barium photoionizes from the UV light of the sun. Then they make an aluminum plasma generated by zapping the metal cations that are in the spray with either electromagnetics from HARP or the gyrotron system on the ground. That would be the GWEN towers, Ground Wave Emergency Network, and possibly many of our cell towers, or space-based lasers. The barium makes the aluminum plasma more particulate dense, so it densifies it. This means they can make a denser plasma than they normally could from just ionizing the atmosphere or the air. Okay, that, let's just stop there. I want that. I want that idea of densified plasma. Now, some of your listeners may have heard the term, and I'm looking now at I'm looking at Wikipedia on plasma physics. One of the things that you probably already have seen plasma in would be the plasma balls.
And
plasma
TVs.
Balls. Huh?
Plasma TVs?
Yes, that would be, because it's the fourth state of matter. It's sort of a gas matter. It's sort of, and the thing that makes it active, it's very active, is the ionizing, the bumping of its electrons into high activity. But plasma balls, I remember people talking about plasma balls back in the 90s, and if I paid more attention to UFOs, I would also see it. There were often plasma balls that showed up just before what were they called in England? The fields?
The crop circles.
The crop circles. There were always these plasma balls that showed up.
They were also evident on 9/11. If you really get into the very deep research of 9/11,
yes.
There are photos and
yes.
videos of the plasma balls at the top of those towers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there are also some people, I remember the, was it called the Snakeskin Ranch? A UFO book I read years ago, and plasma balls were showing up there all the time. All right, so am I saying that all these things are created by HARP? Not necessarily, but I am saying that HARP has the ability to create plasma balls. Now, I have gone on the net years ago where, and I can't find any anymore, but some victims, targeted individuals, TIs, have complained of plasma blobs coming in through their houses. And glomming onto their heads near the brain. And it is interesting, some of them took pictures in infrared, with infrared film, of the energy going on in their neighborhood. And you could see where plasma was zipping all over. You can't see it with your normal vision. You have to be able to see into the infrared. Possibly the UV, I don't know enough about it as to how its frequency is limited. but certainly in the infrared. So this plasma that can be directed now in anywhere in what I call the smart grid that is forming around us, this electromagnetic soup was the first phase. The second phase was plasmaizing, ionizing our entire environment, so that now we are living in a bubble that is ionized and active and ready to go. And HAARP, with its many of its devices, the towers that are around us, all these cell towers, which people think is for their own convenience, but is really for military purposes. I can't remember the name of these towers. Let me see if I can find something
here.
Oh,
the Gwen towers.
Well, the Gwens, definitely, and then the Ionosands. They're called Ionosands. Ionosondes. Another woman wrote me about her son who died of cancer, and he had been sitting by a tower. H.P. Wren is the name of the tower, connected to the Inmarsat satellite. He had been at university and no one had warned him, and many young people have been hurt by that. Then I'm seeing here the NEXRAD towers. They're with a radome on it, R-A-D-O-M-E, like a big golf ball. The NEXRAD can also is very mobile and can be moved anywhere. It's seaworthy.
Yes, I've seen those. Those are made by Raytheon, by the way, which are on the internet. You can actually Google that and see for yourself what these babies look like.
Yes, and Raytheon, of course, is evil incarnate, rather like Monsanto. Raytheon owns all the patents for HAARP, and so the communication, when we read these articles, you have to be able to see through these articles. You read about the desire of the military to have, C3I. It's communications working up to beyond anyone else's. It is also including the ability to do psychotronic activity. And I'm not saying that in any secondary sense. I know that the weather is a huge weapon for the military. I mean, when you're trying to kill and take territory, you don't want a storm blowing in that, suddenly you can't do anything. So the military has been after this for many years. Now they have it. Now they're discovering other uses for it. And certainly one of the large uses is the control of population. Some people believe it's to eliminate population. Certainly 7 billion people is not what many elites want. So very feasible. At the same time, though, why not make a little money? So big pharma can make money. The medical institutions, CDC has plenty of guinea pigs to work on. MKUltra continues under other names. So experimentation is always foremost in the mind of these sociopaths who seek to control it all. I think the 60s were a bit of a litmus test or wake-up call that things were not under as close control as they would have liked. However, they were able to use that to their advantage, which they always seem able to do. They have very cunning minds convince Americans they needed more law enforcement and we needed more of a right-wing move and that left liberal was no good. So now, after 9/11, which, of course, if anyone would ask, I would have to say that I agree with, I think her name is Judy Wood, when she says that it was a directed energy weapons. And that is exactly what we're talking about here. When we're talking about HAARP, we're talking about the chemtrails, how they work together. We're talking about communications. We're talking about directed energy weapons, DEWs.
Right.
And as this fellow, I'd like to go back to this fellow who did not sign his fabulous article. When he says, chemtrails are the medium, Gwen pulse radars, the various HAARPs, and space-based lasers are the method, or more simply put, chemtrails are the medium, directed energy is the method.
Yes,
spray
that is from the Rants.com article called What Chemtrails Really Are, and it was written by Catherine Palette, I believe.
Yes, but I don't think this is hers, is it?
Yes, I think it's a direct quote from that, because I think that's in my article for on Hub Pages. But yeah, she was the breakthrough. When it took 8 months and almost 30 pounds to actually find this. I say the 30 pounds because literally I never made it to the gym. Once I started down this rabbit hole, I was like, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to find out what's going on. And literally I gained 30 or 40 pounds pounding down the rabbit hole, trying to find exactly what was going on with this. And now I'm at the gym trying to work this baby off. So it's like I'm down like three dress sizes, so it can happen. But you got to kind of have some balance going. But, yeah, this is serious stuff here, you know?
Yes,
right?
And her name, I'm so glad you told me. So they just lifted her stuff. I couldn't figure out how something so good could be at that. I have read it, and her name is Carol Pellet, and emailing. Yeah, she's been really helpful to me, and she has another good article up, which I don't know the name of it. But I have read that one. Thanks for toggling my memory.
Yeah, that was a breakthrough article for me because I had been really floundering around, and the way that I found that was one of my friends who's an electrician. He and I met for dinner, and we were like good buddies and just hang out as like platonic friends, and he was like, you know, he said, so tell me, what are in these chemtrails? What is this? And I said, aluminum, barium, boron, strontium. And he said, barium. He said, hey, did you know that those are in plasma TVs? And I was like, yeah, it's in plasma TVs. And he said, well, let's Google that. And that's exactly how we found that Rents.com article.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And thanks for letting me know that barium is in the plasma TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you for the psychotronics, you can. I just met with someone the other day who is being targeted. I meet people. I'm sure you do too. And in his case, it was because he's an activist, and we were trying to figure out, given that he had moved all over the place, and it was always waiting for him. The various energy things, tightness in the chest, sometimes voices, sometimes thoughts that he thinks are not his, then in that case, even though Eleanor White, who is just is also a friend of mine or at least a colleague, Eleanor is the number one person that targeted individuals usually find. She's in touch with thousands. And she was a U.S. Navy engineer. She has since retired and moved to Canada, and she has been targeted for over 30 years. Eleanor is a stalwart, and she's a wonderful balance to me because she'll say, Ilana, are you sure about that? Because, you know, we've never found the proof. We have to find an authoritative proof for that. And one of the things that we disagree on is that I do believe that when you move all over the place, that it is no longer the case as it was in the 90s when I was in touch with a lawyer who was being targeted. It is no longer the case that a whole team will suddenly meet you there and they'll be all set up. No, I think it's satellite. I think the computers have astonishing capacities. And I think that is what they mean when they say electronic incarceration is in your own home.
Right. Your IP address will profile you even in a hotel room, even if you're just staying overnight. Once you log on with that computer, or you pick up your cell phone, or the cell phone is with you and it still has the battery pack in there, you are on the radar and you cannot get off. That's part of the, people can't get that, but your identity is picked up through your car, through the, computer system in your car. It's picked up through your telephone. It's picked up through your IP address and computer. So anything like that will clearly identify you and put you immediately back on the grid.
Yes, that's so true. And for the microphone on the phone, too, I assume your listeners know that you have to take the battery out, except in these new iPhones, you can't take the battery out. All those are picking up everything.
Oh, yes. Yeah, those smartphones are too smart, don't you think? Way smart.
That's what they mean by smart.
Way smart.
Smarter than you phones.
Yeah, that's true.
So was there anything else? I mean, we've gone a long way.
We've got 5 minutes to wrap this thing up. So what else would you like to talk about, Alana?
Well, when the other night I was giving a talk here in my town and on something else, and a young man in the back row nailed me. All I hear is you people talking about all these problems and all these, problems. Well, what can we do? What can we do? And I hear this a lot, and I really want to give my philosophy on that. Do I know how to stop this? No, of course I don't. I am dedicated to the nth degree to, with my good brain and the time that I take, to find the clearest, as accurate as possible information so that I'm always representing what I call the truth, which is really what I serve in this era of lies. And to me, my job here in this lifetime is to be a witness to this horrendous era that can only end in difficulty. There is no Band-Aid possible now. For people who are being targeted, for people who are being rained down on by these chemicals and biologicals and nanos that are being dropped on us and that we're breathing and inhaling, ingesting, there are many ideas of what people have done to turn their lives, their biological lives around. I'm thinking now of one person I know here in town who had Morgellons. She has overcome it. And, of course, this means that her diet is different now. It has to remain different. Well, that will be in the book, because, again, I haven't gotten to that chapter yet. But I have information from many people of things that have worked for them. And I will include as much of that as I can. And there's always new people coming on the net. The net, we should not take it for granted. I'm already having net problems recently. And I would say, grab up that information while you can. Do not think that you will have access to every site you want, because there are sites that are going to be removed. And they're already being removed. So really get in there. And I can't send people to the library, because this is cutting edge, unfolding as you breathe kind of information, which is what makes our era so exciting. If people have fear, you must overcome that fear. And I was listening to Cliff High the other day, who actually lives in my town. Cliff High has a very amazing site. I don't know the name of it, but if you do CLIFHIGH, you'll find it. He was saying that fear is, he gave some exercises he does to handle fear. It has to do with deep breathing from your solar plexus. Get hold of your fear because it will undermine anything you could radiate out and give away to people around you as things begin to unfold very shortly. So let's just keep going, and we're all together, and we serve the truth, and we serve the love of humanity, to keep something human and not transhuman and not singularity, to keep our hopes and our courage up. This is what I live for, and this is why I work so hard for whomever I meet, whoever comes to talks, whoever's on the radio listening. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I'm so looking forward to finishing this book, and I'm forcing myself to work because Adam Parfrey will need a year. So the book will be out in 2014.
Oh, excellent. Well, Alana Freeland, I thank you so much for coming on the show and filling us in and literally painting a picture for us, getting us through this whole technology grid. So I really appreciate your time. I hope you'll be back on my show again, and I can't wait to read your new book. So thanks
so much.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a great evening. Bye.